2021 commission meeting to order. We'll start off with brief comments from the chair, which are I just want to give compliments to Director Burson being part of the testifying for the Senate bills and being part of the budget bills from last month. Really showed how fortunate we all are to work with a great executive director. He knows his stuff. He, you know, obviously got a lot of compliments from the elected officials in the room, and it was great to see him at work. So I wanted to give you that compliment.
Thank you.
And we'll start off with approval of the minutes from January 29th, 2021. Assuming you've all had a chance to look over those. And if so, I can get a motion to approve those minutes.
You don't need a motion, sir. You just...
Mr. Chair, I don't think we need a motion.
Oh, you're correct.
I recommend that the minutes stand approved as mailed.
Okay, thank you. We'll start with the consent calendar. Is there any commissioners that like to pull anything off to address separately? If not, if we can get a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Mr. Chair, I will move that calendar for the March 12th regular meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. All those in favor of approving the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Hearing none. We will move into the stipulated final orders, starting with number 7. The case of Daniel Jenkins.
Chair, if you can hold on a minute, we need to get Sheriff Jenkins.
Yeah, okay. He said he was coming. I've messaged him.
Want to do the other one first?
Yeah, yeah, we can move on to number 8. The case of Stacy Radinovich, Planning Commissioner from the City of Hines.
Yeah, Chair Mason, Commissioners, Stacy Radinovich was a planning commissioner for the City of Hines and was required to file a statement of economic interest with the commission on or before April 15th of 2019. She filed her SEI late and accumulated $110 in civil penalties, which is unpaid. This case was open to resolve the outstanding civil penalties, and Ms. Radinovich has agreed to settle the matter for a letter of education. The signed stipulated final order is in your meeting book for approval.
Okay, any questions for staff from commissioners? Any conversation from commissioners?
Mr. Chair, hearing none, I will move approval of the stipulated final order involving Stacy Radinovich on our March 12 commission agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Can we get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Okay.
Not present. Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
11 is the
aye.
Okay.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
8-0. Yeah. Okay, item number 10, the Hyatt Light Little, city councilor from City of Corvallis.
Could we do 9?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Number 9, Misty Boyle, Planning Commissioner for City of Plainville.
Chair Mason, Commissioners, this is a default final order for Misty Boyle, Planning Commissioner for the City of Canyonville, who on April 15th of 2017 and 2019 failed to timely file her required SEI and accrued $110 total in civil penalties. I wanted to note that there's a typo in Ms. Boyer's default final order in the meeting book, which is in paragraph 15, where I cited the incorrect years. Those typos have been corrected in the actual final order. The commission sent the required notices via certified mail, and Ms. Boyer signed for the mail Included with those notices was a proposal to settle the matter for a lesser amount, but Ms. Boyer did not respond and did not request a contested case. Therefore, a default final order for $110 is in your meeting book for approval.
Thank you. Any questions from commissioners?
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Fiske. Just a quick question. I would like our staff member to describe how the $110 was arrived at. My friendly question is that enough in light of the fact that Ms. Boyer, if I'm saying her name right, appears not to have contacted the commission at all during this procedure. So the question is $110. How was the rationale arrived at for that?
Yeah, that's arrived at just by operation of law, where we're allowed to assess $10 for the first 14 days of late filing, and then $50 every day thereafter. So this is the total that she's accumulated in her late filing.
Yes. Thank you. That's a very adequate answer. I appreciate it.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Just for education purposes, for the benefit of me, are there collection efforts after this? Is it just kind of something go on a public record? What's our commission's efforts after we assess a default penalty like that?
So what the Commissioner Lindsay, so the what happens afterwards is we will send out a letter to them asking for the money to be paid. If it is not paid, I think it's
30 days.
It's sent to the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Revenue is the state's collector. So not only would they try to collect it, but they'd also look for any refunds or anything else that's out there that's sent to this person. So we actually don't do the collections ourselves, but the state of Oregon collects our monies for revenue. And remember, all of our fines don't go to this agency. They go to the general fund. So we don't actually operate on our fines here.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Any other conversation from commissioners? Seeing none, can I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, hearing none, I will move that we approve the default final order involving Ms. Misty Boyer on our March 12th meeting agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiske. Mm-hmm. And a roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiske.
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Chair Mason.
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0.
Okay, number 10.
So have we got?
Yeah.
O'Day's here now, yes.
We'll move to number 10, the case of Hyatt Little, city councilor from City of Corvallis.
Hi. Chair Mason, Commissioners, Hyatt Little was a city councilor for Corvallis on April 15th of 2019 and 2020 and failed to timely file her required FEI and accrued a civil penalty of $150 for the two late filings. Ms. Little had earlier failed to timely file her 2018 FEI and accrued a penalty of $1,160. At that time, she requested mitigation and the commission waived the penalty and issued a letter of education only. The commission sent the required notices in this case via certified mail and they were delivered on January 6th. Included with the notices was a proposal to settle the matter for a lesser amount, but Ms. Little did not respond and did not request a contested case hearing. Therefore, a default final order for $150 is in your meeting book for approval.
Okay, any questions for staff from commissioners? Any discussion on the point? Seeing none, if I can get a motion.
Mr. Chair, hearing no discussion, this is Commissioner Fiske moving that approve the default final order involving Ms. Hyatt Little as part of our March 12th meeting agenda.
Thank you. And roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr? Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0.
Do we have Daniel Jenkins before we...
He's not on yet, but Ms. Lawson is now on the line.
We could probably proceed with Mr. Jenkins. I mean, he is a sheriff, and I would anticipate he might have been called elsewhere if you want to proceed with it.
I think we have Jackie Lawson on, so we'll go ahead and move to item number 11, the case of Jackie Lawson. A city councilor for City of Dallas.
Chair Mason, commissioners, item 11 is an investigative report for Jackie Lawson, city councilor for the City of Dallas. Ms. Lawson is appearing by video, I believe. Jackie Lawson and her husband own the World Gym, operating in two historic buildings in downtown Dallas. The complaint in this matter arose from a dispute over sign and building permits needed for installation of two signs, one on each of the two World Gym buildings. In March, the city had issued sign and building permits for installation of a sign on the Main Street building, but no application had been submitted for installation of a sign on the Court Street building. On Thursday, July 23rd, Meyer Sign Company installed the first sign on the Main Street building. Building official Troy Skinner walked by and they told him they would be returning the next day to install the second sign. The building official went back to the office and confirmed there was no permit for a second sign. And so he called and left a telephone message for Jackie Lawson at the World Gym. From that Thursday afternoon through Saturday afternoon, Jackie Lawson began exchanging emails with city employees, primarily building official Skinner and planning and building director Scott White, along with the city manager, Brian Latta. She also exchanged text messages with the city manager. A number of these emails and text messages occurred after 5 p.m. and on Saturday when the city offices were closed. In the emails, Jackie Lawson explained that she believed both signs were part of the same project and covered by the permit issued in March. She did agree to submit a new permit application to the second sign, but stated that she would not postpone installation until the new permits were issued. City Manager Brian Latta wrote that the city would expedite the new sign permits by using the information previously provided to review the applications. On Friday, after submitting the new application, she informed city staff that Meyer Sign Company had moved the installation to Monday. The permits were in fact issued on Monday. At times, Jackie Lawson appears to blur the line between personal and city business. For example, in these emails, she claims she's brought the city manager into her dispute of her personal business because it implicates city business and how this department treats commercial projects. And yet what the city manager, his involvement was in fact focused on, can we get Jackie's permit approved and expedited here? At its meeting on September 18th, the commission moved this matter to investigation to determine if Jackie Lawson used her position in order to obtain expedited review and approval of her application. A preponderance of evidence indicates that Jackie Lawson used her position in city council to provide access to and influence over the city manager and other employees, and that resulted in her application being expedited. First, in July, during this dispute, Jackie Lawson used her city council email address to communicate with the city manager and city staff. This contrasts with her emails in March when she was applying for the sign permit. In March, she used her personal email address. Second, she was able to email the city manager and city employees after hours and on the weekends, weekend and received responses even though the planning and building department was closed. Third, during the dispute, she was able to text the city manager on his unpublished city-paid cell phone. In their interviews, City Manager Latta and Planning Director White asserted that they would have handled any similar complaint in the same manner, and that it was not unusual for the city manager to get involved in such a dispute. Building official Troy Skinner agreed, but stated that Ms. Lawson's permit review process probably got done a little quicker than it normally would have if the city manager wasn't involved. Notably, the complaint in this matter was filed on Friday, July 24th, while these events were unfolding, which indicates that at the time, the employees in the building and planning department felt the city manager's direction to expedite Ms. Lawson's permit application was unusual. The report that is in your meeting books recommends finding one violation of ORS 244.040 subsection 1.
Thank you, Investigator Myers, for that detailed report. Now we have Ms. Lawson on the line or with us via computer. Yeah. Ms. Lawson, are you there?
I tell her that she's muted.
She's not there.
Ms. Lawson, you might be muted.
I can't unmute her. Mine says she's unmuted, so she might mute her own line.
Ms. Lawson, if you're with us, please unmute so we can have you present to the commission.
Wonder if we ask her to call in.
Hold on. She said she's trying. She doesn't
okay. See
a way to unmute.
Ms. Lawson, would you like to, can we have you call in? Do we want to give her, or you're messaging her number, right?
Yeah. It's not giving me an option to unmute or unmute her.
I think she has to do it.
Do you want me just to have Holly call this line and
put
her on speakerphone?
Yeah, let's have her just put her on. Okay. I mean, if we're comfortable with that.
She has the main line number, but...
Yeah, she does, too.
Okay, Ms. Lawson, if you would call the main number for...
How's it going
to
get
her? No, I mean the one
we need
that...
to use this number, though.
Yeah.
Not the main line.
No, not the main line. I mean, she has the number that goes for Teams.
Yeah, there's a phone number that's assigned to the Teams meeting, too. Which is in her text message, too.
Okay. So, Ms. Lawson, if you would call the number that you have in the text message, and we can proceed once we have you on.
But that's not going to be this phone.
No.
Yeah, for whatever reason, her phone's not letting her unmute.
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, we can.
We can.
Hey, Ms. Lawson, thank you for joining us. This is your opportunity
Hello?
To...
Hello, can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
There's an extreme delay. There's a lot of static and interference. I'm in Texas right now.
Okay.
There you go.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you perfectly fine. So feel free to address the commission with regards to this complaint. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay. I'm kind of disappointed that the presenter presentation from the investigator shows a very different picture than what really happened. Throughout the report, there are contradictory statements of what she indicated and the testimonies that are actually given and even notated in her presentation in her written notes. However, an even larger, more substantially important, and in my opinion, exculpatory in the situation, there's testimony that highlighted at in this report. Brian Latta's largest concern in this case is actually the timing. He shared with me that he actually told the investigator that the complaint was filed early in the morning on Friday, which, if you see in your notes, that was 7 a.m., but yet it wasn't until almost 2 hours later on Friday that he ever had any communication with the department on the situation whatsoever. He asked, how does an accusation of some an issue? Michelle's complaint was filed at 7 in the morning. However, if Brian hadn't even communicated with the department yet, how would there be a valid complaint about behavior if what she is accusing us of doing hadn't even occurred? I don't understand how the investigator didn't cover more of that in her report, but I will go through some of the other concerns I have. Brian also shared with me the investigator asked him many questions that seemed to only include partial information in her on her responses or her notes of his responses. He said he was asked about phone communication with me, which she has covered, but he let her know that his phone is personal and business phone combined, and that the city just compensates for that phone. So he has numerous, not just some, contacts of local people that he works closely with, and he personally liberally gives his phone number out. It's not something that I just only had personal access to. He says he communicates with many people on weekends and after hours. In this situation, the investigator alleges that I had special access to him that others don't have, and that's just not true. He gave me the example of Rita Grady from the Polk County Development Corporation, who connects with him often that way. In the notes, you'll see that both my text and email to Brian actually occurred before business hours ended on Friday, but it was his response to me that was after. I did not reach out to him on Saturday by text, only responded to his reply. Regarding Lane's involvement, he was just wanting to make sure that in light of the accusation that the whole scenario was handled properly, not to expedite a permit with the help of the city attorney. You will see that everyone involved, Brian, Troy, and Scott, all state in her notes that what happened, procedure that followed, was not done any differently than others in the past. In fact, Brian noted at least three examples that happened in just the year he has been there. They testified that counter jobs, that's what they call them, are frequently done right away. There are no delays there in general. They testified that if there was an omission, the regular process is doing them the same day most of the time, not days or weekends, as has been alleged. On page 12, between lines 26 and 27, I want to highlight that it's that, quote, anyone else could have received expedited review of permit application. And if you please refer to page 9, line 20, where Scott is pretty explicit that, quote, keep the same for anyone out there. And then again, page 9, lines 27 and 28, Troy said that, quote, your cases would have been handled in a similar manner. The investigator alleges that there is significant evidence that I use my position to expedite a review. However, Troy himself on Thursday told me directly that when the additional second paperwork permit, or that the additional second permit paperwork was submitted, they would review it immediately, and that he would be in the office at 7 a.m. the next morning. Troy was following the same process that is always done. I was not put in front of others to review any differently than any other similar situations. I did not coerce them to do this. I told him it would be difficult to get everything together so quickly, and that's why I had made the comment about I wasn't going to stop them. That was, you know, I was pretty angry, to be honest. But I did. The signs were not put in. It did get halted. Under the COVID situations, the offices weren't open to the public. Brian had not even communicated with anyone in the department yet to this point either. Application on Friday morning that was not the updated one that it changed to. So the bit of time that he refers to get the information was getting the calculations because it wasn't requested on the form. I turned it in at 7 a.m. So the additional measurements were reiterations of the 2-foot letters that were already discussed so they could give me calculations of the additional fees. On page 9, lines 30, Troy states that the small counter permits are processed as they come in, and quote, this one was easy, so no need to delay. It was later that day that Brian sent me the email in response to expediting the permit, confirming what Troy had already said, that they would do what he had told me in person the prior day. This was not of his direction. And then there's a few allegations the investigator that are direct or kind of left in between the lines subtly that I'd like to address outright. When there was ambiguity in the communication on the signage sizes, and Scott asked if the 2-foot letters he had seen in the window were the ones we were currently calculating for the World Gym building, I clarified those were the ones for the Court Street building. This was crystal clear that there were two signs. After Scott let me know that I needed to pay a second fee, I assumed that was the answer to the question from Scott regarding was it for both. I wasn't trying to do anything untoward and was under every assumption that it had all been done correctly, as I heard nothing to the contrary from the department and after sending the two sets of pictures, two different signs to the department. It's very apparent that the permitting process at the city is not terribly organized. Troy explained on page 9, line 26, that it took a bit to get the information, and that's because of the way the online form didn't match identically to their current form at the time. So it was, when he said a little bit, it was one quick communication. The investigator also refers to the comment about, quote, intimidation regarding Troy. However, this comment made by Ted Cuno, it happened numerous years before I was ever on the council. This was testimony I gave her, yet it's not included in her report either. Ted shared that this was because at that time, Troy did not know his job or role well. This had created an awkward working relationship, and therefore, not to put him on uncomfortable ground, I just worked with Ted instead and rarely had communication with him going forward. Regarding my communication with Troy using my city email, the investigator said it was, quote, convenient, which was my word from my testimony, but you can note that it was a response to a phone call message he left for me at the gym, not me reaching out to him to create directives and that he would get the permit done. In retrospect, I should have copied and pasted the contact information from the contact list into my personal email, but it was an oversight and definitely not something intentional regarding directing staff to do anything from a council position. And one of the other comments that she has in there was that I was racing to beat the clock on the change of the new sign code because it wasn't, but if that's not true, the sign code wasn't even for another 8 months later. Scott had given me a completely different answer when she talked to him. When he talked to me, it was that were absolutely no differences. And what he told her in the report is a completely different story about needing a variance. The investigator also alleges that Michelle reported this with risk to her job. When I asked Brian about my text to him, he confirmed that he had never shared the text about filing to anyone until the information was given to the Board of Investigation. He said that even to the contrary, that Emily from Human Resources, in fact, had gone directly to her and told her specifically there was no risk to file the complaint to her job. Finally, the new paperwork was submitted. Fees were paid. Scott told me personally on Monday we had verbal permission and the sign was installed until after that. Therefore, there was no fiscal benefit. I didn't use my position in obtaining anything differently than anyone else in the community. The city has emails. I use the city email, which, when it's sent, it might reach them after hours, but they did not communicate with me after hours. I did not have special access to the city manager that others do not have. I did not receive an expedited review that other people in the same situation would not have received, as stipulated by Troy, Scott, and Brian in their testimonies. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Lawson. Do we have any commissioners that have questions for our investigator? Yes, Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you. Ms. Myers, Mr. Burson, just to help everybody understand the standard here, when it comes to use of office, is that an intent-based standard or does it require a particular outcome? Put differently, if I attempt to use my office to get personal gain, but it doesn't, I'm not successful in that effort, is there still a violation under ORS 244040?
Jim Mason, Commissioner O'Day, yes, the statute is applies to use or attempted use of office.
Thank you.
Real quick, can we turn this up? I'm having a hard time.
Me too.
Hold on, just one moment, guys.
It's at 100%.
Is it really?
No,
okay.
Maybe
it just seems like we're having a harder time hearing each person.
And could people mute their lines if they're not speaking? If the feedback that you hear sometimes is because people are not muted.
Thank you, commissioners. Okay, Commissioner Fiscom.
Sean, Mr. Lindsay Elliott, I saw your hand up, and then I'll grab you if you'd like. Please feel free.
I don't have a question for staff. I just have general comments. I don't know if that's now's the time for that.
Let me just go ahead. And this is not really a question either, but it's just a comment that our staff, Ms. Myers, may want to respond to. I appreciate Ms. Lawson being on with us today in this virtual process. Ms. Myers, I just wanted to give you a chance if you had any response to Ms. Lawson's testimony to us before we ask other questions or decide what to do. Do you have any response to what she has said in her testimony?
Thank you, Chair Fiscom. I did want to clarify a couple points, and I understand why there might be some confusion. When the CMS program prints out the copy of a complaint that then gets sent to the respondents, for some reason it prints 7 a.m. for every single complaint on the day. However, Ms. Howard's complaint was actually submitted at 11:20 that morning, not at 7 a.m. And we have tried, I believe, to fix that over the years, but CMS is just this little quirk.
Okay.
A couple other points. Yes, as the report points out, during the interviews, people did say anyone else might have been able to get a permit expedited. It was simply a little unusual here that the city manager was coming in. There were all these emails, you know. And then the final point was that in terms of the sign code, yes, the updated sign code did not go into effect until November. However, what actually happened with the sign code was back in January, before she applied for her permits, the city council approved amendments to the sign code. And then in February, Councillor Lawson raised concerns when they had their first reading of the ordinance. So in February, they moved to reconsider that vote and go back and work on the sign code some more, which then she applied for her permit in March. And then finally, in terms of the whether her permit, yes, there was miscommunication with the city staff, but in the long run, when looking at the permit she submitted, that permit was for installation of one sign on one building.
Thank you, Investigator Myers. Commissioner Lindsay had his hand up after Fiscom. Commissioner Lindsay, did you still have a comment or a question?
Not a question for Ms. Myers, but I just have general comment. Is now time for that, or are we still
let me check with
questions?
Commissioner Sosa, did you have something for Investigator Myers or for general discussion?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just had a question.
So if I understood correctly, you said that the use of your city email address during these exchanges, as opposed to your personal one, which you used previously, was simply an oversight. Is that correct?
Ms. Lawson, did you were you able to hear that from Commissioner Sosa?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Yeah, we had a question from Commissioner Sosa.
I'm sorry, I did not get past. You said use the city email. And
yes, Ms. Lawson. In the documents, it states that you had previously, in dealing with these signed issues, only used your personal email. And yet, when this problem arose, you started using your city email. And I just want to clarify, I think I heard you say that that was simply an oversight. Did I understand that correctly?
To a certain extent, all the communication for the most part that I had done prior to that was back and forth with Scott on my personal email. When I got the phone call message at the gym, I quickly went to my email. I don't have Troy business city email in my personal email. Didn't really even think about it. I just went because I knew that's where it was. And in retrospect, like I said, it was an oversight. There was nothing untoward meant in it. It was just her contact information. And in hindsight, yes, I should have copied and pasted it out of there and went back to my personal email as the rest had been. Didn't even about it. I just wanted to quickly respond to him so that we could quickly move through the process and get it finished.
Okay, well, thank you, Commissioner Sosa. Commissioner Hollister?
The whole process.
Thank you, Ms. Lawson. We're going to go to Commissioner Hollister.
Thanks. I just used the fancy raised hand icon. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, it worked great.
Okay. So I had a question, and I guess it's a question about the facts. I think it's fairly common for government entities to have a policy that you're allowed to engage in to use your business email for incidental personal matters. And so I'm trying to get my mind around the notion that when you use your work email, that it somehow means that you're seeking to use your office to influence the outcome of a proceeding in light of the fact that such a policy could have existed. And I guess I just wanted to get Investigator Meyer's thoughts on that and maybe hear from Ms. Lawson as to whether or not the City of Dallas has such a policy.
Thank you, Chair, Commissioner Hollister. I did inquire about the...
Please, thank you. I don't know anything about it.
Hey, Ms. Lawson, that was a question for our investigator. Thank you.
I did inquire about such a policy. The city manager explained that...
I apologize. It's breaking up really badly.
The city manager explains that their policy focused more on instructing counselors that personal use of the city email or let me clear it up in my head. Their policy, such that it was, it focused on informing counselors that if they did city business on their personal device, it opened up that device to public records requests, etc. They didn't focus so much on instructing counselors on what they could do with their city email.
Any other questions from commissioners? If not, we'll move into a discussion amongst the commissioners.
Commissioner O'Day had his hand up, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner O'Day.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Fiske. So, Ms. Myers, you just mentioned a few moments ago that there was the vote on the sign code and the kind of the timing of issues related to this permit. It sounds as though perhaps you reviewed the transcript or the record of that. I'm just curious, as a downtown business owner who had a pending sign code matter, did Ms. Lawson indicate whether she had a conflict of interest? interest in voting on that sign code?
Commissioner O'Day, she did not. We did not include that in as a violation or issue in this because it was not really part of the original complaint. I mean, the complaint was focused on use of office in July. The issue of the sign code was sort of, she raised it in her response, and so we looked at that. But yes, I did review, and there was no disclosure of a conflict of interest.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Appreciate the clarification.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Day. Now we'll open it up to a discussion amongst the commissioners.
Chair, this is Commissioner Edwards. I'd like to jump in for the discussion.
Please.
Just to maybe provide a little bit of taking over Commissioner Hollister's question around use of email. In my day job, I work for an elected official, so I just want to give a little bit of kind of perspective that I absolutely see every day how when you use your personal email versus a city email, the difference of responsiveness that you receive. So that's just been my personal experience, and I just want to make sure there really is a very, very palpable difference in that use of email. And so I would suggest that the email is absolutely a tool of power that a privilege as elected are extended. And so I just wanted to put maybe a little punctuation mark at the end of that question because I think that the use of email is really important.
Thank you, Commissioner Edwards, for that input. Commissioner Lindsay, then Commissioner O'Day.
All right, so my general impression here is that we live in a day and age where we are not just emailing during the work hours. We are reading and sending emails all through the evening. In fact, I have a personal experience. I do a lot of work at night. In fact, not too long ago, I sent a text to my contractor at 11 at night, not expecting a response, just getting it off my plate onto his plate. He texted back that evening saying, what are you texting me at 11 o'clock at night for and getting in my face? And I said, hey, I wasn't expecting a response. I was just, you respond when you can. And so I would think that most of us would agree that when you send an email, you're not expecting a response immediately. Whether you're sending it from your personal email account or some other account. I remember when I was in the legislature, I would send emails lots of time at night from my legislative email account, and I would not expect a response until the next business day or sometime down the road. I see no evidence of Ms. Lawson expecting a response, demanding a response, wanting a response over the weekend. In fact, Manager Brian Lattice testified that he did not feel that she expected a response. Director White said the exact same thing. Now, I don't believe the issue is whether she expected higher response from using her, let me rephrase that. I don't think the issue is sending an email from her personal or her city address. That's a separate issue. The issue is whether she expected special treatment and special response time by sending an email outside of business hours. And there is no evidence indicating that is, except for getting in her head and trying to figure out the hard wiring. She has said she expected no special response. The manager said that, and Director White said that. So, anyway, there's my thoughts there.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. Commissioner O'Day?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I was going to piggyback on what Commissioner Edwards said. You know, as somebody who's also a public official and in a senior leadership position, you know, I think we need to be mindful. It's not so much the use of the government email, it's the position within the hierarchy who you're communicating to. And when you're a subordinate using your government email to talk to a superior, I don't think there's any concerns there that there's going to be a use of office. But when it's somebody who's in a position of authority, sitting on a city council, a city manager, and they're using their public titles, their public email, when they're making it very clear that they're communicating with somebody else in the position as a city councilor, I think that that sends a signal, you know, if you don't do what I'm asking you to do, if this doesn't go the right way, there's going to be consequences for you. And in fact, as I look at the investigation, you know, we see this exchange about, you know, filing a harassment complaint, you know, in a way of, you know, as if, you know, I'm part of the organization, I'm being harassed by a fellow employee, and I'm higher up in the organization, is I'm going to file a complaint with HR. Whereas, you know, if it was a resident complaining because they felt like they were harassed by a city official, a city employee, that complaint would go to the city manager. So, I, with all due respect, Mr. Lindsay, I see this case a little bit differently. I do see this as a use of office. I see this as an individual who's making it be known that they want a particular outcome in a particular way, whether it's expedited or not, and whether they got that outcome or not, as Ms. Meyer said, is irrelevant. I think just it's, there's enough evidence here to find a violation of the use of office provision.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Day. Commissioner Sosa. All right, you're on mute. Commissioner Sosa.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate that. So I just wanted to echo what Commissioner Edwards and Commissioner O'Day have said. I don't see this as a situation, as we've seen in the past, where you have an elected official who is sending, you know, an ancillary email from an official account on some unrelated matter, you know, at their kid's school or something. That's not what we're seeing here. What we're seeing here is a person who's in a position of authority, whether she intended to or not, using an email which conveys a certain weight that a personal email does not, and sending it directly to folks are underneath her in the hierarchy of the city. Whether there was a bad intent, whether it was simply an oversight, or it was just convenience of not having to copy and paste those emails, I think that having done that, it created an ethical problem, just based on the position that she put the folks underneath her in when they received that email from the city councilor. So I concur. I think that there is, based on what we've seen,
thank you, Commissioner Sosa. Any other discussion amongst the commissioners? Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve staff recommendations to find a violation.
Thank you, Commissioner Sosa. Any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Fiscom.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm prepared to vote in favor of this motion, but I just wanted to say for the record two quick perceptions. This is another of the matters that sometimes we deal with that creates some unease for me because we are inserting ourselves in what appears to be a local issue about which we know, to the credit of our investigator, something, but maybe not everything. We've heard from Ms. Lawson today that state law may compel us to be involved, and I always have some uneasiness with that role for us. Whatever our obligations are under law, I would agree with those. And the second perception is that this may get ahead of the game a tad, but for me, this strikes me as the kind of issue that could be resolved after our motion, if it passes, that could be resolved via a letter of education. It seems to me that there are some issues here, but they could be resolved by a letter of education, meaning instruction from us, and I will let that comment stand for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom, for that thoughtful perspective. Any additional, Commissioner Lindsay?
Right. I appreciate the comments on using personal email and governmental public office email, and I don't discount those comments. My focus is that in the body of the email, there was no command, there was no request to respond over the weekend. Number one. Number two, the people that received that email have the choice to respond or not respond over the weekend. And number three, both of those recipients of the email said that they felt no undue influence to respond in an expedited manner. So for that reason, that's why I'm voting nay. I'll be voting nay on this.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. And Commissioner Edwards.
I just think it's really important, since we're not hearing firsthand from those folks on how they actually felt in the interactions, that it's hard for me, without hearing directly from them on how they felt, to kind of that piece of information really into a challenge. Because I just think, as humans, it's not necessarily helpful or even possible to convey another person's emotions, and particularly when we're talking about this kind of hierarchy structure and how those conversations might have played out. I just think that that's an important context.
Thank you, Commissioner Edwards. Any additional conversation or discussion amongst the commissioners on the motion? Seeing none, we will move with a roll call vote. Thank you.
Commissioner Sartoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Nay.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes 8-1.
Thank you, Ms. Lawson, for joining us today. Our commission staff will be in touch with you for further steps. Okay. And with that, we'll move back to item number 7. With the case of Daniel Jenkins, I don't believe he is able to join us.
Yeah,
we can still move forward based on our investigator. We can have a report, please.
Thank you, Chair Mason, Commissioners. Item 7 in your meeting books is a stipulated final order in the case of Daniel Jenkins, Sheriff of Harney County. Sheriff Jenkins, I believe, was going to attend, but may not be able to get on. I do believe that the complainant in this case, Tim Scott, may be attending as well. In August 2020, Sheriff Jenkins' sister, Jennifer Foster,
is now exiting,
was promoted to the position of lead 911 dispatcher. The 911 dispatch is a division underneath the sheriff's office. Prior to her promotion, other more senior dispatchers had either taken the position and resigned or refused the position. Ms. Foster was the next most senior dispatcher. When the vacancy came up and she was the next most senior dispatcher, Sheriff Jenkins met with two members of his senior staff to discuss filling the position and suggested that because Jennifer Foster was his sister, they should take the matter to Judge Pete Runnels of the Harney County Court. Sheriff Jenkins then met with Judge Runnels, and ultimately it was Judge Runnels who made the final decision to propose Jennifer Foster and give her a raise. Upon her promotion, Sheriff Jenkins instituted a new chain of command that had Ms. Foster reporting directly to Lieutenant Morley Ellis rather than to him. It appears in this case that Sheriff Jenkins violated ORS 244-1771B, which prohibits public officials from participating in any interview, discussion, or debate regarding the hiring or promotion of a relative. He also violated ORS 244-122B by failing to publicly disclose his actual conflict of interest. From the beginning of this case, Sheriff Jenkins has been cooperative and acknowledged making errors unintentionally. He didn't really understand the law. The stipulated final order that is in your meeting books provides for him to receive a letter of education. In particular, that letter of education will provide Sheriff Jenkins with specific suggestions for how he might publicly disclose conflicts of interest in the future, given the nature of the office of the sheriff. So our recommendation is that this stipulated final order be approved.
Thank you, Investigator Myers. Any questions from commissioners for staff?
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Fisk. I'm hearing none. I will move that we approve the stipulated final order involving Mr. Daniel Jenkins on our March 12 agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum, and a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0.
Okay, so we have no advisory opinions, correspondence, and so do we want to move into a trainer's report and a director's report before going into executive session, or would you prefer to go?
I would prefer to go into executive session. That way we come out and we adjourn in open session.
Okay.
And.
Oh, yes. Commissioner Hollister.
Thank you. I just wanted to note that I reviewed the advisory opinions, this month's agenda, and I just was impressed with the speed of the response and the thoroughness, and so I just wanted to give staff my compliments.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hollister. Okay, we'll move into executive session. To consider preliminary reviews pursuant to ORS 244.260, Section 2, Subsection D.